This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vassay with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Day two of pitchers and catchers reporting at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. We got a great show for you tonight. We'll let you hear from Clayton Kershaw in just a moment. From yesterday's first day at Camelback Ranch and what he had to say to reporters before taking the mound for his first bullpen session. Also, too, later in the show, we'll let you know which Dodger is the cover boy for a baseball video game. And we all know about that jinx, but it's a different video game, so I don't think the jinx applies, especially to this player. Plus, later in the show, we'll have our World Baseball Classic Minute, and we'll let you hear from the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, on the potential rule changes that he wants to implement that I think are a horrible idea. But first, obviously, we start in Glendale, Arizona, where Clayton Kershaw threw his first bullpen session yesterday. I was on the air last night on Sportsnet LA with John Hartung, Alana Rizzo, and Oral Hershiser, who also had his first day at Camelback Ranch yesterday as a Dodger pitching instructor. He'll be in uniform, in case you missed it, for the first 3 weeks of spring training, assisting Rick Honeycutt with any pitching needs because they are from the same school of Dodger baseball. Guys like Drysdale, Koufax, Osteen, Dave Wallace, those guys instructed those two, and it's been passed forward now to the current Dodger youngsters that that Honeycutt and Oral Hershiser are trying to cultivate. And Kershaw seemed to come out of his bullpen session well. And today, no news that he was feeling any issues with that herniated disc that kept him out for 2.5 months last season. And as you know, that's been one of my biggest concerns going into spring training is the health of Clayton Kershaw and his back and whether or not it can hold up not only during spring training, but the course of a full season and 30-plus starts. And Clayton looked great. You could tell that he had definitely changed his workout routine during the off season. The core work was there. He just seemed a lot more tighter in that area. And that all began last year when he went on the DL. He worked with strength and conditioning coach Brandon McDaniel to adjust his workout routine, to adjust his diet, to strengthen his core. And obviously, he knows what's at stake. If he did not change things, he probably would not have come back last year and most certainly would not have had the opportunity to do what he did in the NLDS or NLCS. And obviously, Kershaw is one of the hardest workers in all of baseball, so he continued that program, maybe even more so into the offseason, and it showed yesterday in his first bullpen session. And here's what Clayton had to say to reporters after it was all said and done.
Yeah, good to be back. It's it's always fun, first day of school type stuff, first day, and a little bit different. I have a workout this afternoon a little, so that'll be fun, but always good to see everybody, and I'm excited to be back.
You've been doing your throwing program since the beginning of December. Just your thought about how your body's feeling and where you're at now.
Yeah, doing good. I'm excited to give it a good test here in spring training, but no worries or concerns for me. I feel good.
Just kind of, I know you changed the routine coming back last year. How has it been sort of doing that straight through the winter and everything?
Yeah, the routine's been a little different, but it's not drastic changes, which is great. Still able to, I feel like I'm still able to get the work that I need to get in, and I just am a little more aware of, instead of just pushing through stuff and things like that, just a little more aware. But I would say for the most part, not a lot's changed, and I feel good. So
you mentioned if there were any changes, it was because you were getting older, getting into more of your career. How are you
Nervous question.
You're always considering the future when you think of things like, you know, you don't wait for it to catch up to you. You attack it first.
I'm not a big future guy. Yeah, I just want to pitch this year. You know, I want to make every start, and I'll do whatever I have to do to make that next start. You know, and I'll worry about the next years when I need to. And if it costs me somewhere down the road, it does. But I'm here to make every start this year. I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do.
Were you paying attention at all when the Dodgers were making the moves during the offseason? Like, do you have an idea of who you thought were coming back, and were you surprised by the moves they did make?
You know, I think everybody kind of thought and hoped that, you know, the JT, Rich, and Kenley were all going to come back. You know, I think we all kind of almost assumed that they were. And then, you know, as it gets later and later, doubts start creeping in and stuff. And, you know, I guess it was a good wedding for Kenley. I mean, I guess it worked out, which is awesome. But, you know, having those two guys back and Rich back and, you know, I think Chase, everybody had kind of written off that wasn't going to work out. And so for him to be back is such an added bonus for us. And, you know, everybody talks about the intangibles, but, you know, I really mean it. I mean, I think that's, you know, regardless of how he plays, just what he does here in the clubhouse is the best I've ever been around.
Thanks to Alana Rizzo and Sportsnet LA for allowing us to use that audio of Clayton Kershaw speaking to reporters yesterday on his first day at Camelback Ranch. And, yeah, there was a little nervous question from our guy Doug Padilla there, but it generated a good response from Kershaw that gives you some insight to what he's about. He's not thinking about the future. He's not thinking about opting out after next season and the money that may be left on the table if he continues to pitch and if his back starts to bother him. This guy only cares about the next start. He could throw a no-hitter like he did a couple of years ago. And, yeah, he has a lot of media commitments after that no-hitter. But in his mind, in his preparation, he does not care about that no-hitter and how that would translate into his next start. That's why he's been so great for 9 years. He does not care what he did last year. He does not care about that historic strikeout-to-walk ratio that he had and was going to be on pace for if he stayed healthy the entire year. So this guy is just amazing, and he loves the game of baseball, and he's just been really, really special to watch. And hopefully he does spend the rest of his career with the Dodgers. But obviously we've talked about the window of opportunity for the Dodgers, and I think they're aware of that he can opt out after next season. And I think they've surrounded Kershaw with probably his most talented team since 2013. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And speaking of our friend Doug Padilla, man, the evil four-letter SportsCenter really made him look bad earlier today when he was talking about Kenta Maeda. And on the screen below him, they had a picture of Hyunjin Ryu. And they're supposed to be the most credible news source out there, and their radio station is supposed to be the most informed Dodgers coverage. Wow. And by the way, hello to all those hosts over there that are listening to the show tonight and prepping for their show tomorrow to talk baseball, because not too many of them have I ever seen in a Dodger clubhouse. 866-987-2570, complete joke. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And speaking of Kenta Maeda, he told reporters that he's coming to camp this year 15 pounds heavier, full of muscle, with the intention of throwing 200 innings. Yes, strong in the legs. That's where a pitcher needs to be strong. And if you told me last year at this time that Maeda would be the pitcher that logged the most innings for any Dodger, I would have laughed in your face. But that's what he did, 172 innings last year for Maeda. He started off strong and obviously faded in the second half because he wasn't used to the major league schedule and the grind of the schedule and pitching every 5 days, even though the Dodgers did find every opportunity, and in some cases really hurt them when they try to give him extra days off by calling a pitcher up that wasn't ready just so he can have an extra day of rest. And I think hopefully this year the Dodgers are planning on him not having to rely upon that as much as he did last year. And it's great to hear him have that competitiveness of wanting to be better and build upon what he did last year. So good signs for Kenta Maeda and the Dodgers. And Hyunjin Ryu, good news for him too. Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman told reporters the first day that he is going to be treated as any other starting pitcher, but he has to prove that he can be effective against hitters. So good news that Ryu is not going to have the kid gloves on him. And everything we heard a month out that he was throwing bullpen sessions in Japan and was feeling good have been true. And I know Rick Honeycutt told us last week that he had seen the videos of Ryu's bullpen and he was encouraged. So everything's on target for him, hopefully, to have a normal spring training and hopefully get close to who he was the first 2 years with the Dodgers, where he could have been an ace for any other staff that did not have Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we will let you hear which Dodger is going to be the cover boy for a video game, and he already has a commercial. Not sure. You could tell me whether or not you're sold on the commercial if it makes you want to run out and buy the video game because this Dodger is on the cover. Plus, we'll let you know the top five storylines that I gave Sportsnet LA last night. Nissan Dodger Talk, David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you will hear from the commissioner, Rob Manfred, who spoke at a Grapefruit League media day about the possibility of rule changes that I think are just ridiculous. And he defended the reasons why baseball, and he in particular, are thinking about messing with the game that will, what, cut down the time of a 3.5 baseball game by 2 minutes? Yeah, that will really make a difference. And yeah, that'll get the millennials going and interested in baseball. Great job, Commish. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, big piece of news, I guess, today out of Dodger camp as pitchers play catch with catchers. Sergio Romo threw his first bullpen session and after was excited to put on that Dodger uniform and seems to be like a little kid putting on that Dodger uniform since his family was a big Dodger family. So it's great to have a guy like that in Dodger blue and out of that black and orange. Let's go out to Whittier. Frank, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Frank?
Hey, David. I have a question about Sergio Romo, actually. I know it seems like his best days are behind him, so what's like a realistic expectation, something we can really expect from him this season? Well, and do you think it's going to be like a mix and match, or is he the hitting guy?
Yeah, you know, my good buddy Kevin Kennedy used to like to say that. Mix and match. You got to mix and match a little bit. And that's what the Dodgers did last year, and that's what they'll do this year. But what do you think as far as his best days behind him? Because obviously he's not a closer anymore. But last year, in a bullpen that was really bad, Frank, he had an ERA at 2.64, had a really good strikeout to walk ratio. And in winter ball, I know the competition's not that great, but he gave up like one earned run, and I think that was a home run to former Dodger Ivan De Jesus. My good buddy Lorenzo Bundy told me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have a point there, but I think there is something to be said for someone that loses a closer job. But the numbers are there, you're right.
Yeah, setup guy. You know, Frank, he's not expected to be the man. You know, he's the guy there that's going to be a compliment to get the ball to Kenley Jansen. And I really believe that's one of the five biggest questions for a very talented team that has a lot of the answers already there for them with all the guys they have in camp and the veterans they have in camp. Who is going to emerge as that right-handed setup guy to get the ball to Kenley Jansen? Will it be Romo? Dave Roberts said yesterday you're going to see Romo in the eighth inning a lot, but he has not fared well against lefties. The last year against righties, he held them to a 234 batting average. Lefties were close to 280, 290, so I think you're going to see him against right-handed hitters and not very much against lefties. So is it going to be him? Is it going to be Josh Fields? Is it going to be Josh Raven from Chatsworth? the Dodgers need to find that answer in spring training because you got to get defined roles. And I know they did it in a different way last year, but I'm not sure if you could repeat that again. Let's go out to Glendale. Bruce, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Bruce?
Well, Dave, I'm really excited about the Franklin Gutierrez signing.
Yeah.
And intrigued with Scott Van Slyke this year. But I'm concerned about the 4, 5, 6 hitters, especially with the questionable health with Adrian at first base.
Oh, you like that I brought that up the other night, huh, Bruce?
Well, I listened to you, Dave.
Thank you, Bruce. You, if you listen, you will be educated and learn things that the other people over there at the Evil Four Letter have no clue about.
Used to speak his mind, and so do you, and that's why I listen to you.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. That's my guy, Joe McDonald, one of my my radio dads. Probably be my radio dad. Joe, and I would say, don't laugh, Petros probably have had the biggest impacts on who I am on the radio today. So Joe was my guy. I miss him every day. But, yeah, that was my other big question for the Dodgers in spring training. How is Adrian Gonzalez going to manage his neck that limited him to his lowest slugging percentage since 2005? I know he ended up the season with 18 home runs and 90 RBIs, but he had to manage that neck issue all season long, and he has had to manage that neck situation for a number of years, but as he gets older, it gets harder to recover, and he hasn't ever been on the 15-day DL in his career. I think the Dodgers did not just make an emotional sign by bringing back Chase Utley. I think it was a very measured sign to bring him back for everything that everybody's talked about, including Clayton Kershaw, the intangibles and what he means inside that clubhouse, but also as insurance as a left-handed bat at first base. He's not going to get too many reps at second base. He may be giving Adrian Gonzalez some days off, as is Scott Van Slyke. Maybe they're the combo that helps give Adrian more days off to help that neck get through 162. And worst case scenario, let's say that neck does not cooperate at some point in time during the season. Chase Utley will be the left-handed option for the Dodgers at first base. So I know everybody gets carried away. Yeah, Andrew Friedman, Farhan Zaidi, they understand clubhouse chemistry and what it means to baseball and players and how much they love each other. Yes, that means a lot, and I've always said that and believe that, and I think they do as well, but I don't think they went all in just because of that. I think they wanted some insurance there, and in spring training last year, that neck was bothering Adrian Gonzalez, and it proved to bother him all season long. And I'll be curious to see how many at-bats, if any, Adrian takes for Team Mexico. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up?
Of Camelback. First off, man, mad props. Heard you on PMS today, man.
Oh, thank you.
You were legendary today.
Legendary. Wow.
Put a microscope on the underachieving of the booking from yesterday, but we move on.
Wow.
As far as the Dodgers, man, hey, yeah, I'm glad that you shine that light on old Gonzalez, because I'm scared to death, man. You know, and I'm a Mexican-American, so I pull for Team USA and Team Mexico, but, man, if there's any kind of issues, I wish the Aegon would have just stayed at Camelback and just do whatever needs
Manuel,
to be done.
You don't have to worry about Adrian. He knows what decisions to make. He's very in tune with his body, and he's pretty smart in the decisions he makes. So it's not a knee-jerk reaction. You don't have to worry about him making bad decisions.
Good deal. Hey, that being said, hey, ESPN, you guys can wear it, because DV is the ultimate authority on Dodgers baseball, and this is where the news happens when it comes to the blue and white. Dodger heaven. Uncle Tommy's even listening.
All right, Manuel. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah. Fakers over there, haters over there. This is real Dodger talk. Real. Yeah. You got real Dodger talk over here. You got real Dodger talk over here. Ownership's watching. Real Dodger talk over here. We're tough guys over here at the Evil Four Letter. Yeah. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're going to say we're real Dodger talk and then just talk about the Lakers tanking all day. That's us. That's us. And we're going to put a picture of Hunjin Ryu when we're talking about Kenta Maeda. Yeah, that we're informed. We're informed, though. We know everything about Dodger baseball. Yeah, right. Don't forget, Dodger baseball is heard 162 right here, plus playoffs on AM 570 LA Sports, Dodgers Radio. First spring training game is a week from Saturday. Can you believe that? Wow. February 25th, the Dodgers and White Sox will kick off Cactus League schedule, and it will be heard right here on your home for Dodger baseball, the only place you can hear Dodger baseball, AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers on deck at 11:30. First pitch at high noon. All right, I told you that a certain Dodger is now the cover boy for a baseball video game, and it is this man right here.
Now taking the field for RBI Baseball 2017, Corey Seager.
Come ready to play.
RBI Baseball 17, coming this spring.
All right, Sieg, yeah, way to sell it. RBI Baseball, love it. Yeah, this makes me want to rush out to a GameStop and get this game.
Now taking the field for RBI Baseball 2017, Corey Seager.
Come ready to play.
RBI Baseball 17, coming this spring.
That's right, Corey Seager, the cover boy for RBI Baseball. I'm not going to rip on Corey. He's a good guy. I love Corey, and he's been good to me, and he's a great kid. So I'm really happy for him and the success he's getting. People are not sleeping on Corey Seager and are not worried about a sophomore slump with good reason. This guy only cares about baseball, and I think some other Dodger players should take a cue from him, the younger guys that are coming up and getting a lot of hype, and some of the guys that have been around since 2013. Yasiel Puig. Worry about baseball, and everything else will come with it. And you look at Seager's endorsements piling up this offseason. He's got RBI Baseball. He's got Muscle Milk. He posted a Instagram picture of him drinking Muscle Milk after his workout today. He's got Paige Jeans, which is for men. You wouldn't think so with that name, but Paige Jeans is for men. I'm picking this all up from his Instagram because you know he's endorsing it when he puts their handle in all that. He's got New Era baseball caps. He's the face of New Era as well. He was at the New Era baseball cap shop down there at LA Live during the offseason. So I'm happy for him. He deserves it because all he does is work hard and play baseball. All this other stuff comes with it, with the success and him being a great kid. So the sky's the limit for Corey Seager. This guy is going to be probably the most popular homegrown Dodger position player since Mike Piazza. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Sierra Madre. Josh, you're on Dodger Talk. Hi, Josh.
David, you are the man. You know, you may bring out news that, you know, may, you know, ruffle some feathers, but at least it's not fake news. So you are absolutely the legitimate source for Dodger baseball, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening, Josh. I appreciate it.
And I loved how you basically called out ESPN when they were going to talk about Maeda, but had a picture of Ryu. I mean, really, ESPN? How about get your facts right and know who picture you're putting up before you put it on there? I'm sure Maeda loves
it. But we're the most informative network, and you should listen to our radio station because we know everything, including tanking.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
but anyway, awesome. One thing about that, Josh, I feel bad for the reporter, Doug Padilla, good guy. He had nothing to do with that. He has no control over what they're doing back there in Bristol, Connecticut. So this is not on Doug. It's on everybody else that thinks they're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully Doug.
Because Doug knows he's not smarter than everybody else.
I know. I mean, no, I love Doug. I think I wish you two would do a podcast together. I think I would love to hear you two talk Dodger baseball. Anyway, so I'm really, you know, I have to say I'm really excited about not just this year's team, but I'm excited about the direction and the organization in general. You can finally see that the plan that Friedman and company have, you know, put together, it's finally coming to fruition. I thought they had an outstanding offseason. I did not expect to have – I honestly didn't think any of the free agents would come back, let alone, like, all five that they re-signed. I think it's a sign that the front office cares about the fans and they care about the culture, and it's really exciting. I love Forsythe. Even though I did want Dozier, I did not want the Twins to rip us off. So I think Forsythe is going to be, you know, a very quality addition to the lineup. I love Franklin Gutierrez. He can mash lefties. I think he's always been a very underrated hitter in the game. I am curious what this does to Van Slyke and maybe some of the other outfielders. There's three outfield spots and there's seven outfielders. I think somebody has to go. I wonder if there's a trade coming up or anything. And I think Romo is definitely a good addition. I mean, like you said, he was, you know, probably the best reliever in that disaster of a bullpen that the Giants have. And, you know, I loved what Joe Blanton did for us last year, but I don't think you could really expect him to put up the numbers that he did last season. So I think Rome was a great addition. I really am excited for this team, and I really hope that we finally go over the hump. I'm excited. Let's do it this year, Dave.
All right, Josh, thanks for the phone call. I really believe this is the most talented Dodger team since 2013. During the stretch of four consecutive NL West championships, I felt the best team and the best chance to win the World Series during these 4 years was that 2013 team. If Hanley Ramirez does not get hit in the ribs during that Cardinals series, the way he was hitting, the way he was protecting Gonzalez, the way they had Kershaw and Greinke, and the way Puig was playing at that time, not to mention, you know, the role players that help you win a championship like Skip Schumacher and Nick Punto, there was no way they were not going to out-talent that 2013 Red Sox team that was an aberration that won the World Series that year. There's no doubt in my mind. And also, too, you know, a couple of years ago when the Dodgers lost to the Cardinals again, the Giants did the Dodgers a favor by knocking out the Nationals, and the Dodgers at that point in time were rolling and beat the Giants, what, six out of the last nine times they played? They would have rolled over the Giants the year they won the World Series that year. I believe it was 2014 as well. So going back to the most talent, this is it compared since 2013. When we come back on Nissan Dodger Talk, more of your phone calls, plus we'll let you hear from Rob Manfred on the proposed rule changes that we've heard about, and also our World Baseball Classic Minute. As you know, the semifinals and finals will be at Dodger Stadium, so we'll get you caught up on the latest news there. More Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse until 8 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. Man, this is when I was in my prime. 90s at Notre Dame High School. Not really. I was a late bloomer. Still waiting for it to fully bloom. David Vasse with you on Nissan Dodger Talk until 8 o'clock right here on your home for the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. The first spring training game can be heard right here on Dodgers Radio a week from Saturday, February 25th, pregame at 11:30, first pitch at noon. I assume we will see Mr. Kershaw starting that game because Rick Honeycutt told us exclusively right here on Dodger Talk last week, and we let you hear that conversation again on Tuesday. And if you want to hear it again, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com that coming out of camp the first few days, they want to line up their starting five to start the season, and we'll see that when games begin on Saturday. So we know it'll be Kershaw, Hill, and Maeda. Who will be the four and five starters? And that's another question that we have. Will it be Kazmir? Will it be McCarthy? Will it be Stripling? Will it be Alex Wood? Who will it be? Because when Dave Roberts mentions during the FanFest Caravan Week that they are considering having Julio Urias stay back for an extended spring training so they can maximize his innings in September and October, you know there's serious thought to that, and I would not be surprised if Julio did not break camp with the Dodgers just so they can conserve his innings, and is somewhere between 150 and 175. That's including the postseason, and I firmly believe that by the end of the season, Julio Urias will be the Dodgers' second-best starter in this rotation. That's how much I was impressed by what I saw and what people have told me behind the scenes, how impressed they were about his demeanor and the way he handled things and the way he improved with each and every start. And one thing Kershaw told me in Chicago during the regular season before Julio's second major league start, he wanted to see him establish the fastball more and go to that more and more. And when he did, he was more successful. So maybe even Kershaw has a future as a pitching coach. And you might want to listen to the best pitcher on the planet. I think he knows what he's talking about. So it was good to see Julio really start to show what everybody had been talking about. Also, too, another young player that nobody's really talking about when they talk about the Dodgers' pitching depth is Walker Buehler, who's coming off Tommy John surgery. He was the Dodgers' first-round draft pick a couple of years ago from Vanderbilt, and he could be this year's Brock Stewart or Jose De Leon if they need him to be for a spot start or if the injuries hit them again. Hopefully it won't to the degree it did last year where the Dodgers were forced to use 15 different starting pitchers and use more players on their active roster than any other team has in their history. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. It's time now for our World Baseball Classic update.
This is the WBC Minute.
All right. Yeah, short and sweet. It's not anything spectacular, but the World Baseball Classic may become that, and it all culminates at Dodger Stadium March 20th to the 22nd. All games begin at 6 o'clock, and you can get your tickets at Dodgers.com/WBC, and we hope to see Team USA in the finals, and this may be their best chance since this World Baseball Classic has started, and their manager is Jim Leland, and he kind of talked about how Team USA has really not been fully invested as other countries have been during the history of the World Baseball Classic. He was on MLB Network recently.
I think the other countries have been more wrapped up in this, obviously, than we have. And I think the commissioner has made a big pitch in recent time to make sure that we take this thing a little bit more seriously, I think, than we have in the past. So I think that's one of the things. And I think, you know, it's just about compete for your country. But I just think that the United States just hasn't taken this thing overall as seriously as the other countries have.
And that was Jim Leland, who never holds back any feelings or words when it comes to expressing them publicly. And I agree with him. I don't think there's been as much national pride from the American players as there's been from, let's say, the Dominican players or the Mexican players. But this year, I like the team Team USA has constructed for the World Baseball Classic. You got Nolan Arenado, you got Matt Carpenter, you got Brandon Crawford, who I believe is one of the most underrated shortstops in all of baseball. You got Andrew McCutchen, you got Paul Goldschmidt, you got Ian Kinsler, you got Andrew Miller, Daniel Murphy, Buster Posey, and A.J. Ellis. A.J. Ellis is going to be the backup catcher, plus Giancarlo Stanton. So position player-wise, I think Team USA stacks up against any team. Now, pitching-wise, that's always been a question mark, but this year they have Chris Archer. They've got Michael Fulmer from the Detroit Tigers, who is one of the up-and-coming starters in the American League. As far as another starting pitcher, you got Drew Smyly from the Mariners. So that's the one area of concern. They're a little thin pitching-wise compared to other teams. But position player-wise, I think Team USA is looking pretty good, and hopefully they're playing in our backyard here in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. How ironic would it be if A.J. Ellis was playing again at Dodger Stadium for Team USA of the World Baseball Classic? Dodgers.com/WBC is where you could get your tickets. The semis and the finals will be played here March 20th to the 22nd. You could see all those games beginning at 6 o'clock at Dodger Stadium. So it should be fun if Team USA is there. And How great would it be if Team Mexico's there with Sergio Romo and hopefully Adrian Gonzalez as well? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And speaking of the World Baseball Classic, that is Major League Baseball's baby. And Rob Manfred told reporters today in Florida that this will not be the final year of the World Baseball Classic. He and the other owners intend to have this thing go for a few more rounds. It's once every 4 years. And his words were that he wants to make it an international event. I'm not sure if that can happen if you don't have the best players from every country playing, but I think they've done a better job getting more Americans to be part of Team USA. The biggest thing, though, that Rob Manfred talked about today at the Grapefruit League Media Day in Florida is about these rule changes, wanting to eliminate the intentional walk, wanting to move the strike zone from below the kneecap to above the kneecap, wanting to have a runner at second base to start the 10th inning and moving forward in every extra inning subsequently. They're going to actually test it in the minor leagues and rookie ball and all that, and that's fine because, as Ned Coletti pointed out on Sportsnet LA last week, they have some challenges as far as innings limitations on their pitchers and a lot of different strategic things that go on as far as developing pitchers. So I can understand it at the lower levels, but you're still not helping them prepare for the big leagues and what's to come. So I'm a little apprehensive on that as well. But here is the commissioner defending him, defending himself and the proposed rule changes.
Pace of game is different than time of game. Pace relates to dead time caused by batters stepping out, pitchers not working quickly, trips to the mound. A quicker pace in the game is good for fans, both in the ballpark and watching our broadcast. In contrast, time of game is dictated by a number of factors that we really can't control. And a longer game may or may not be a concern, depending on how much action's in that game. That is why we've never set a goal in terms of time of game. What we want is a well-paced game with action regardless of the actual time of the game.
That's fine, Commissioner, but eliminating a four-pitch intentional walk, which happens, according to Jason Stark, once every four games in all of Major League Baseball, is not going to improve the pace of play and not going to get what you want, younger people, to watch baseball. What I do like is really enforcing the managers to have to make a decision on whether or not they're going to review a play, because it's been very lenient on how long they get to have their video guy back there in the clubhouse check it out to see whether or not they want to review the play. They've got to be able to stay on those managers and to really keep them to the time limit that they've kept. I believe it's 30 seconds, but these managers sometimes take about a minute to 2 minutes, if not more, to make a decision. So I like them enforcing that. I don't like eliminating the intentional walk. Why? It doesn't really do that much to keep the pace of play going. I really don't like raising the strike zone from below the hollow of the kneecaps to above the kneecap. That's ridiculous. Like I mentioned last week, if you really want to improve the pace of play, you want guys to swing the bat. So wouldn't you want more of a strike zone so more strikes are called to force hitters into a swinging situation? Hitters now are trained and encouraged to take more pitches and to take more walks to improve their on-base percentage for these analytical GMs. That's what's being taught at the minor league level. If you want to change things and change the pace of play, number one, eliminate the four or five pitching changes within an inning. Number two, have your major league owners tell their minor league staff and their organizational people to change the philosophy of what's being taught now and understand situational hitting, not swing for the fences on an 0-2 count. That's the problem. The way hitters are approaching it. 0-2, you might want to just try to go the other way or put the ball in play, But nowadays, hitters are not being penalized for striking out 150, 160, 200 times. I've mentioned this a lot, and I'll mention it again. Players from yesteryear, Hall of Famers, guys like Tim Raines, Tim Wallach, Steve Garvey, Ron Say, those type of players were embarrassed to strike out 100 times. We'll come a little bit further into history. That did not happen. Even more recently, Gary Sheffield, who was on the show during the offseason, never struck out 100 times in any of his 22 seasons. Never struck out 100 times in a season in 20-plus years. Nowadays, nobody cares about that. That's how you change the pace of play, Mr. Commissioner. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Dodger Tom in San Diego. Hi, Dodger Tom.
Hey, good to talk to you again. Dave, I just want to give some kudos to you and whoever you work with. This show is better than it's ever, ever been. And because you're candid, you're allowed to be candid, or maybe you're just, I don't know. I don't know where the credit goes, but it's wonderful. And I remember a day, I've been calling for years. I remember the time, I certainly won't mention any names. They're all great guys. There was a time when I would have something to say, constructive criticism about the Dodgers. Not only was I shouted down, I was hung up on.
Yeah. Who was that, Al Downing, back in the day?
I'm not going there because I love all Dodger broadcasters, but you bring a freshness and an opinion that's strong. It's not always positive. You know, we don't have to be kumbaya all the time about the Dodgers. We love them, but let's be frank. So kudos to you.
Hey, Tom, I know as the season goes on, we all get emotional, and not every game is perfect. Not every play is perfect, but I'm not doing the kumbaya song here by saying I'm really encouraged about the talent that's been assembled there in Camelback,
right,
Arizona. You got to feel good as a Dodger fan that this is the team that Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi has assembled, because I know there were a lot of cynics out there.
Right.
All right.
I can't wait to take the four-hour drive from San Diego to Arizona 2 weeks from now.
All right. We'll be out there beginning Monday. That's when I'll be out there. The first day the full squad is supposed to report. I know there's been some guys already there, guys like Corey Seager, shocker. This guy impresses you every day that you see him. Scott Van Slyke, I heard, is out there. So some of the guys are trickling in. Jock Peterson was there. Justin Turner, I saw, is on his way there. I know Adrian Gonzalez was packing his bags yesterday. So it's good to see everybody starting to assemble there at Camelback Ranch. And we'll be out there. Dodger Talk will be emanating from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, beginning next Monday all the way through March 22nd. And don't forget, the first spring training game, the first Cactus League game for the Dodgers is a week from Saturday, February 25th, pregame at 11:30, first pitch at noon. So that's what you got, Dodgers Radio. You hear every moment of Dodger baseball on your home for the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports, no other place than right here on their flagship station. And I guess the credit goes to Ronnie for encouraging me to be more honest with you. It's all Ronnie pushing me. Yeah, it's all Ronnie. It's all Ronnie. All right, let's close out the show with a loyal listener, and she always has an opinion. And I'm still apologizing to you, Isabel in Buena Park, for not bringing Dodger Talk to that Shakey's down there. I apologize. It did not happen.
I understand. Maybe next year, maybe you can do during the summertime, but then you got to be Dodgers game. So anyway.
Maybe Petros and Money could come to Shakey's. You know Petros likes to eat.
Yeah, well, Money, right now, I'm not even speaking to him with Money, but we'll talk later.
All right.
That.
What do you think about the Dodgers, Izzy?
Well, listen, first of all, what you said about MLB, we talked about it last week. I agree. Everything you just said, even the manager, do take a little bit too long. I do agree. But, yeah, hey, I tell you, it's Sportsnet last night.
Oh.
I was watching it last night.
How was I looking? Did I have the double chin going last night? Sometimes I do.
The service?
Yeah, I looking plump?
No.
All right. Thank you, Isabel. I appreciate it.
But anyway, yeah, hey, they look good this year. You know, you know the way I feel about injuries.
It can always happen, Isabel. It can always happen. We're up against it tonight. And it's always hard sitting next to John Hartung, who's one of the better looking gentlemen in sports broadcasting. You know, it's tough. It's tough. But I will not give up my Coors Light. So you have to deal with it. And so does Sportsnet LA. But yeah, have always a great time out there. AJ, Stu, those guys, Eric, have a great time with them, and Hartung makes things really easy for me. So it was a fun night last night, and hopefully you'll see me more on Sportsnet LA, and hopefully the double chin that Andre Ethier points out will not be there. Try to keep it tight, right, Ronnie? Try to keep it tight. Yeah, chew a lot of gum. Yeah, that's the answer. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night from 7 to 8 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at AM570LASports.com. Hope you have a great night. We will talk to you tomorrow. See ya!